Happy New Year. And still a Merry Christmas to you all. Glad that you are here tonight to end one year and begin another as we gather around the word of our Lord, receive his grace in the sacrament. If you're a guest or visiting with us, we're especially glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder to please fill out an attendance card you can find there in your pews and hand those to our ushers when they collect the offering midway through our service. We're thankful to Mr. Eli Beadle for playing on the organ for us here tonight. Blessed to have him here in our midst. And at the end of the service, if you'd like to take a poinsettia home with you for decorating your house, you can take more than that too, up to 5, maybe even 10, if you can fit them in your car. They are done with their work here, but of course we appreciate having them nonetheless. Order of service for tonight is Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203 within our hymnal. And so we sing now the first hymn, 733, O God, our help in ages past. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. And is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. in heaven, proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, take our sins away. Mercy on us, Jesus, receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated, at God's right hand on high. You alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we commit to your mercy and forgiveness the year now ending, and commend to your blessing and love the times yet to come. In the new year, abide among us with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. And now go, write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proceed now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was the fourth day. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." God has told us why the sun, the moon, and all the stars exist. They are there for us, for our benefit. And our movement around the sun determines our seasons, and the positioning of the stars in the night sky, along with the sun and the moon, help us to track time. God, who is everlasting, no beginning and no end, he who is bound by no time, has created time for us. And how the telling of time today has come about is truly fascinating. Earliest evidence indicates that mankind tracked time by the phases of the moon in lunar calendars. Now, this was true of the Hebrew people of the Old Testament. The seasons of the weather all year round could be experienced quite naturally simply by feeling, but they did not line up with the lunar calendar for very long. For in a few short decades, summer would happen in the winter months and vice versa. Eventually, Sosigenes theorized a calendar based on the positioning of the sun and the stars, and this was adopted by Julius Caesar, giving us what we know now as the Julian calendar. Later scientific inventions led to the uses of hourglasses and sundials. Pendulums were also then able to track time down to the dependable second. And now virtually everything that happens in our lives in this world happens at an exact time. But what does that really matter? In the grand scheme of everything, what is the purpose of keeping track of time? All the time. Our good and gracious God, of course, is the creator, the maker of time. So we recognize and we honor time as a gift from God. For time allows us to live orderly lives and to accomplish the tasks that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Each day, then, is a new day for us to live in and to enjoy God's creation and all the other gifts that he has granted to us, such as our families, our possessions, and the entirety of the earth. God is the one who has established the ways for us to track this time. We have learned the length of 1 year as about 365 days. The moon has a cycle of around 28 days. Each day takes around 24 hours to spin us once on our axis. And the seven-day week is instituted by God himself in his work of creation. He is the one who told his people of old the importance of remembering the cycle of a year's time. This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Now, what Yahweh God was there alluding to with Moses and with Aaron was the event of the Passover. God would set his people free from slavery in Egypt through that sacred event. The lamb's blood painted on the doorposts of their houses would be the sign for that destroying angel to pass them over. Pharaoh His people were not spared this devastation, and so were destroyed, enough that God's people were finally set free. This was then to be remembered yearly and honored yearly by the people as their chief salvation event, their cross moment. And so from that moment on, the Israelites would live life in yearly cycles. Three different feasts would mark their trek through this yearly passage of time, and each year was to begin anew with the remembrance always of their salvation. And for us, the church year does the same thing. Advent began the season, the new church year, and it was a season of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Christ. The birth of Jesus here into the world was to be our Savior from sin and from death and from the power of the devil, so he could step into our place and be our substitute. The church year thus begins with the story of Jesus for us. We then journey with the Lord Jesus through his earthly ministry to the point of his suffering and his death upon the cross for us. The Hebrew people of old were led then by God through Moses into the promised land after their release from Egypt. That was then to be their home, the land God had sworn to their fathers, to dwell there in perfect care by God himself. That, of course, is a picture of our eternal life, to be in the perfect world where Christ Jesus will take us when he returns again on the last day in all of his glory. There we will live with him in his most perfect care. Until then, we live in this ongoing cycle of time that God has created for us. And the temptation is often there to think that as a new year begins, it will lead then to another new year and on indefinitely for us. Yet the Lord Jesus teaches us differently. The gospel reading for New Year's Eve records Jesus' instruction to his beloved disciples. The previous verses, he had commanded them not to be anxious about anything, for our heavenly Father has provided for all our needs of body and of soul. He had just commanded them to be at peace with all that God had done for them. For God takes care of even the lesser creatures of his making, so he will surely take care of you, the pinnacle of his creation. The Father's good pleasure, Jesus said, is to give you the kingdom. You can be then so sure of your eternal life and your salvation in God's most holy care that you can freely sell your possessions and make sure that others' needs are met as well, Jesus says to his disciples. This reveals then where your treasure truly lies. At the same time, Jesus says, be ready. Be ready for the end. Be ready for the last day. Be ready for his great return. For you know that he is coming again on that great day. You eagerly long for him and you wait for him to come back. But in so doing, do not fall asleep. Do not grow sleepy in weak faith. For stay awake in Christ. Gather here with his people. Hear his word. Receive his supper. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the very scriptures of God. He will then find you awake at his coming, and he will sit you down at his great feasting table. There he will be your servant, lavishing you with the great bounty of his inheritance as the only begotten Son of God. And so we as his people, strike a balance. We live this life as though each day, each moment could be our last. And yet we remain eager to fulfill the vocations God has granted unto us. We do not obsess about when that last day might be, for God's timing is always perfect. We simply want to be found doing what God has called us to do. Martin Luther was once asked what he would do with his life, a remaining day, if he knew the Lord Jesus was coming back the very next day. What would you do to get in that last brief moment before Christ returns? Luther's response, I would plant a tree. It sounds absurd, but that is what we are called to do. You do not neglect what God has granted for you to do just because the end is near. Jesus' return tomorrow would not free you from your obligations for today. For you have been set free from sin and from death and from the power of the devil, from all the debt that you owe to God. You live then in peace and in quietness, knowing that your sins stand blotted out before God and eternal life is truly yours. And so now you are to live in the joy of Christ, doing what he has called you to do because he has called you to do it. It is your duty, it is your joy, and it is your privilege to thank and praise, serve, and obey him. The early Christian church witnessed the celebrations of the new year by surrounding pagans as excuses for wild and sinful living. One thing, of course, would lead to another, and the Ten Commandments were easily violated. The early Christian church then saw fit to forbid Christians from participating in the celebrations of the new year. Certainly, we do not want to participate in any immoral or unethical activities. But at the same time, we recognize the ending of one year and the beginning of a new year as a gift from God. We give him thanks for all the many blessings that we have enjoyed this past year, especially the gifts of his grace. And we look forward to more goodness from our good and gracious God, trusting in his mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For by the working of Christ Jesus upon the cross, the blessings that he gives to us in his word and in his sacrament, we stand always ready for his return this year and every year, whenever that great day may be. Amen. And the peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand now for the prayers. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, we give you thanks for your many blessings throughout this past year. Continue to bless us with your abundant gifts that sustain us from day to day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have preserved this congregation in the faith for yet another year. We give you thanks for your blessing and guidance. Grant that by your grace we may continue to serve you here in this place. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. O Lord, preserve our preaching and teaching faithful to your word. Ensure that your holy sacraments are administered according to your commands and promises, and help us to reach out in love to our community. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you entrusted your own Son to Joseph as guardian and Mary as mother. Bless all parents and children. Make their homes places of blessings and of love. Give them your help, that they may raise their children to know and serve you. Unite our families together in your word. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One of Israel, as we begin a new year, lead our nation to repentance and faith. Grant your divine wisdom to those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Free us from callous disregard for the needs of the poor and alien, from disrespect of authority and truth, and from disdain of our fellow citizens. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, remember all who cry out to you in their affliction, especially those we lay before your throne of mercy at this time in our hearts. Grant them strength and healing in accordance with your will. Bless and keep them. Make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them and give them your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, as we approach the altar to feast with Christ, grant that we hunger and thirst for his true body and blood, that in saving faith we would receive from him anew the forgiveness of sins, the promise of life eternal, and the foretaste of our final salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Abide among us, Heavenly Father, in this new year with your Holy Spirit, that we may always trust in the saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. We stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the beginning, you created all things by your word, and in the fullness of time, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the Nunc Dimittis.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles to your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We're seated now as the closing hymn is sung.